You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. Welcome to another week. I'm Ryan Ballengee. It's good to have you here with us. We'll go over our outright board for the Rocket Mortgage Classic this week on the PGA Tour. Liv is in Valderrama in Spain. We've got the British Masters. We've got a week off for the LPGA as they get ready for the U.S. Women's Open. This week they have the U.S. Senior Open, the USGA does, at Century World in Wisconsin, which if you want to get involved in that, I'll tell you very quickly who to look at, but we can talk about that a little bit. But want to go over very quickly the model from last week since we did make some changes to it, and it seems like it performed really well. So we eventually got our winner, Keegan Bradley, who set the tournament record with 23 under 257, won by three. Keegan Bradley was 18th in our model for the week. So that's pretty good for a guy that wasn't exactly among the favorites. Good ball striker. If you look overall, we had some good hits in terms of the model. Patrick Cantlay and Scottie Scheffler obviously were there. Denny McCarthy had a nice week. Adam Scott had a nice week. Crappy Sunday. Ricky Fowler had some good moments. Colin Morikawa, Ludvig Åberg had a nice week. So not bad overall, I think. Justin Thomas was 29th in the model, by the way. And he had a nice week. Started to kind of slip out of it a little bit. So I think we will see a little bit more volatility in the model from week to week. There won't be quite as many of the exact same players, but that I do like what came of it. Rory McIlroy had a nice week as well. So plenty to like about what we saw from the model last week. So we'll run that probably tonight because I'm going to be traveling tomorrow, so I may just record the Tuesday show tonight at some point and just release it, and then you guys can listen to whatever you'd like. And then Wednesday we'll do our normal picks for the week show. But I do want to look at the odds board for the Rocket Mortgage Classic. This is a par 72, 7,370 yards. Donald Ross course, Detroit Golf Club. Winning score is typically around 20 under par. This is a relatively easy golf course for these players. It's not usually soft, even when it is. It's plenty wide if it's soft. There's plenty of scoring opportunities. These guys are going to light it up. You got to win. And if you look at the winners, it kind of alternates in the 4 years between the guy you totally expect to win, between Bryson and Tony Finau in the even-numbered years, and guys you definitely didn't see coming between Nate Lashley. And maybe you saw Cam Davis coming, but yeah, I think he was like a 75 or 100 to 1 in some markets when he won. So you have alternating years of, oh yeah, that guy totally was going to win. Obvious pick. And, oh my God, who the hell is that? So there are some opportunities here this week, I think. But we'll look at the top of the board to start. Tony Finau, defending champion, 12-1. Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, 14-1. Max Homa, 18-1. Hideki is 20. Tom Kim, 22 with Sungjae. Keegan Bradley, who's still in this tournament for now, might not be, but might withdraw later, but he's kind of a grinder, so he'll probably stay. 28-1. Cam Davis, 35-1. Harris English, who I just shout out immediately, 40-1. Brian Harman, 45-1. Sepp Straka, 50-1. You might want to take Harman, given that he's been playing well. Chris Kirk, 50-1. Tom Hoagie, Steven Yeager, Ben On, all 55-1. Your 60s are Patrick Rogers, Taylor Moore, Nikolai Højgaard, Ludvig Åberg, who I think you almost have to fire on here. If you look at some of the history of the winners here, people have played well. All kinds of different players have done well, but length is a huge advantage on a course that's not going to penalize you for hitting it kind of wide. Christian Bezuidenhout is 60-1. Alex Smalley is as well. 65s, Davis Riley, Justin Suh. Joseph Bramlett, 70-1 is kind of interesting to me. He's a longer hitter. And He seems to have done a lot of damage in the Midwest in his Corn Ferry Tour career, so that might be worth a look. Adam Hadwin, Bo Hostler, Brandon Wu, Brendan Todd, Aaron Rye, all 70-1. Aaron Rye continues to play good golf. Nate Lashley, former champion, 75-1, along with J.J. Spawn. Gordon Sargent's kind of interesting at 80-1. I just don't think the game's there yet, but he could tear this place up. Taylor Pendrith is 80-1. Garrick Higo, those are all kind of, they're not the same guy, but Pendrith is a bomber that even Gordon Sargent can't always keep up with, but he hits the crap out of it. Austin Eckroat, 80. Alex Noren, 80. S.H. Kim at 90, along with Ryan Palmer, Kevin Yu, and then we'll do the hundreds and stop there. There are plenty of hundreds. All these guys are at 100-1. Will Gordon, Dietrich, Sam Stevens, Mark Hubbard, who everyone was over last week, and for good reason, but he was mispriced at 180-1. I think he's mispriced the wrong way at 100-1 here. Ben Martin, Ben Griffin, Adam Svensson, Adam Schenck, all 100-1. A couple of longer shots that you might be interested down the board to consider: Lee Hodges at 110. Akshay Batee is 110-1. That's of interest to me. Carson Young's been playing a little bit better, you know, 180-1. I think a guy I kind of want to fire on is Callum Tarran at 180-1. He kind of faded on Sunday, right? Like, it didn't have the best result. But he does seem to thrive on courses like this one. He's thrived at TPC Twin Cities, which is not that different than this golf course in terms of just what it gives up. But he goes through these long stretches where he just plays like total butt. So from the Phoenix Open through the Mexico Open at Vedanta, he didn't make a cut. Did not make a single dime. In the last five events, he has made the cut in four. He has been decent in most of those rounds. Did pretty okay at the Canadian Open to finish T43. Missed the cut at the Charles Schwab Challenge. The problem with Callum Tarran is he's prone to the blow-up second round. If you look at, I mean, he didn't play very well at all from February through April. Those 3 months were just bad. But if you look at his results when he misses the cut, he has one just what-the-hell round. And that happened at Colonial. He opened 69, which was fine, and then shot 78. And that was not. So he's been playing better. I think 180-1 is interesting. He obviously doesn't have a huge long resume of PGA Tour starts, but if you look at his year last year, some of his best work came in these two tournaments. The 3M Open, he finished tied for 7th. I had action on him last year at the 3M at, like, I want to say 150-1. Didn't get there, obviously, but that was his best week of the year other than the John Deere Classic. So if you want to like Callum Tarran, it's kind of when the fields stink. And in particular, these events he seems to like. He likes 3M. He likes the Rocket Mortgage. He likes Wyndham. Seen some people call Sedgefield Country Club, which is where the Wyndhams play, a comp here. It's a Donald Ross, and I can understand that for that reason. I feel like this Sedgefield's hillier, but same concepts at work, and length is an advantage. So I think you got to look at... This is just my really high-level case for Callum Tarran at 180-1, but it might be like Ches Reavie, where you might have a sweat on Sunday. We definitely did not count our chickens before they hatched on Ches, and I'm glad that we did not, because that would have been disappointing. But he did have a great week, so I am interested in him at this number, given a little bit of course history, given a little bit of current form. Austin Smotherman kind of interests me a little bit at 250-1. Zach Blair is playing again this week at 300-1. I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I don't know where this came from. I don't expect it to last, but if you want to try to ride it one more week and hope something crazy happens, he's 300-1. I wouldn't do that, but just throwing that out there. David Lingmerth at 350-1. He always kind of interests me. He's a better early portion of the year kind of guy. At least that's my read on his history. I mean, he played well in the Corn Ferry Tour Finals last year to get his card back, obviously. but he has not played well of late. But he had that really nice run in the opposite of Callum Tarran in February and March, where he had a couple top tens, really kind of set up his year, and has lately been doing what Callum Tarran has been doing, which has been having a blow-up round and then missing the cut. So I still think he's an interesting potential fit here. Just to kind of throw out his schedule from last year, 3M Open and Rocket Mortgage Classic, when he was playing just the worst golf, he got to the weekend in both. Now, the 3M Open, he finished T70 because he fired a final round 80. The Rocket Mortgage Classic, he fired 370s and a 71, finished T57. In a year where his best finish was T16 at the Puerto Rico Open. So take that all in stride. Like, where was your best effort? Well, it's one of them. So I think that's worth noting. And then he didn't have a lot of action in either, or in 2020, the 2021 season, I guess is technically what it is. But he finished T28 in the 3M Open. That's a comp course, T37 at the Wyndham Championship. Again, not playing best golf at the moment, but maybe coming to a place that he might like. 3M Open missed the cut in 2020 when he really didn't have much in the way of status whatsoever. So I would make a little bit of a, hey, throw 10 bucks on him kind of thing. But that's probably where I'll stop there. Some people may be interested in Aldrich Potgieter, who just turned pro. Like 18 years old. He looks like he's 34. Like, he looks like he's married with two kids, to be completely, like, you know, Scottie Scheffler just looks old because of his facial hair and just general old man disposition. Aldrich Potgieter looks like he's gone through college already, married his college sweetheart, has two kids, and just loves slamming 16 beers on a weekend at a Muni. And I absolutely love it. So 400-1 kind of interests me for him, but not so much that maybe I bet it. But hey, maybe if you're trying to ride the train like Rose Zhang, Ludvig Åberg. I think Åberg is a great play this week at 60-1. Longer hitter. Again, kind of like River Highlands, a golf course that I don't think you really need to know that well to play well. Same thing with the TPC Twin Cities. You don't really need to know it that well to play it that well. You're just going to make birdies. Just go out there and fire at flags and make birdies. And I think that's what Åberg is as a player right now. Maybe not quite as refined and just trying to get after it. So I like him. I like Harris English. I like Brian Harman. I can absolutely understand why people would bet Ricky Fowler or Max Homa this week. Tom Kim, absolutely. But those guys are, I think, especially Homa and Kim, at a bit of, and Morikawa, a bit of a disadvantage here, just because the rest of the field is going to catch up to them in terms of just banging it out there. There's going to be some players who just bang it out there and make birdie. Sepp Straka is going to be one of those guys. Be interesting to bet at 50-1. So you got some really good action, I think, in that 30 to 50 to 60 range, if you're interested in it. Beyond that, take a couple deep shots. Take some real deep shots. I'm going to do it with Callum Tarran. So that will be my look at the outset for this tournament. Again, alternate years between exactly who you thought was going to win, the favorite, and someone you have no idea was going to do that. I didn't even know who Nate Lashley was when he won. That tells you a little something. I think he was an alternate in the event and got in. I mean, just some crazy stuff happens at this tournament sometimes in its four-year history. So you got to keep that in mind when you're thinking about this week. Yeah, very short history, not a whole lot to work with. We will put a history piece together. We haven't done it yet because this tournament's relatively young, but now it's fifth year. We'll put something together for it. And you can see all of it. But worth looking at, and worth noting also that Bryson DeChambeau and Matthew Wolff, two guys who just hit the crap out of the ball, are also 1-2 in this event and at the 3M Open. So you're going to see a lot of similarities between those two tournaments in probably modeling and course comps and players to like and stuff like that. All right, want to talk a little bit about Liv Valderrama. Usual 48 folks are there this week. We've got the wide range of players from Cam Smith at 7-1 to win all the way down to Sawan Kim, Jed Morgan, and Chase Koepka, who are 500-1 to win. I will point out and I think it's worth noting, Valderrama is not easy. Valderrama is a really tight golf course. And I don't know what it's going to be like to play it in the late part of June, early July, but it probably will be a little bit firmer, I'm imagining. And I would guess that it's still going to be tight. So you're probably going to see a fair amount of rollout to rough, to awkward lies. You're going to see a lot of that. So I think being able to keep the ball in play, if you want a course comp to live, maybe you want to look toward what you saw at Mayakoba. The penalty isn't exactly the same, right? Because you're like in jungle in Mayakoba if you miss, and it's a little bit wider. But think about the players from that week, and I think you would see some guys to like. So maybe you look at Charles Howell the third, maybe you look at Peter Uihlein. I think you stay away kind of from the big bombers. Bryson's been playing well, but I don't see how he likes playing this place. Mito's interesting because he gains a lot of strokes off the tee. He's 18-1. Cam Smith 7, Brooks 8-1. Sergio 12 has played this course well. Obviously, a Spanish was probably instrumental in getting this deal done to get Liv and Valderrama together. Taylor Gooch 16 is kind of a blah. Maybe it's because he's a good Liv player. Patrick Reed 20. Bryson 18, Mito 18, Joaquin Niemann 20, same with Harold Varner the third. We just mentioned Charles Howell the third at 22, Uihlein 30, Brandon Grace 30, Paul Casey 35, Matthew Wolf apparently is playing. I don't know what team he's on because apparently he's out of the, what is it? Whatever team Brooks Koepka's is. Smash. That's 30. He's 35. I don't know if he's on that team. I really don't. They took him off the profile, but I guess he's still on there. Lou Eustace in 35. Jason Kokrak, 35, along with Dean Burmester, is a kind of interesting play. Cam Tringali, I think, could be worth a look here at 35, just because he seems to do most of his damage on tighter golf courses. Brendan Steele, maybe. I mean, maybe you're trying to draw a comp to Colonial, kind of tight. Now you're thinking Kevin Na at 45-1. Anirban Lahiri at 45-1, you're considering, if that's your course comp, which I think is pretty reasonable. Maybe Andy Ogletree at 65-1, playing okay. Everything else just doesn't scream out at me. I mean, maybe Carlos Ortiz at 50. There's just not... The interesting thing is, although they have a fair number of Europeans on this tour, right? Not a lot of great experience at this particular golf course. So you're trying to find some comp from a former Euro Tour, DP World Tour player. It's like, oh, they love this place. They're going to do great. Your comp is Sergio Garcia. That's it. I think you want to look, if you want to try to draw from former PGA Tour players, maybe look at Colonial as your one comp and maybe Mayakoba as your other. And then maybe you're suddenly interested in Abraham Answer or, you know, someone like that. This is a tough venue. It's really hard to predict winners here, but if you looked at Ortiz and Answer at 50-1 each, I think that would make a whole lot of sense to me. And then Kevin Na, 45-1, probably worth a look. Maybe Seb Munoz, he's been playing okay, but I think Cam Tringali, Kevin Na, Ortiz and Answer would probably be my group to ride with, along with one of three between Garcia, Mito, and Charles Howell III. That'd just be my look at it. Then we got the British Masters. It'll be the last one we touch on a little bit today. This is the Belfry. It's a former Ryder Cup venue. It's hosted by Sir Nick Faldo. It's a $3.5 million purse, so breaking a string of a ton of $2 million purses in a row. You got three world top 50 players. Justin Rose, 10-1. Minwoo Lee, 12-1. Adrian Meronk, 14-1. Meronk is playing well. Didn't do well in the U.S. Took a gamble on him in the Canadian Open. Obviously didn't do well. He missed the cut by one. So maybe he's not ready for that yet, or maybe he just felt the pressure that week or didn't like the course. Who knows? But played well last week, the BMW International Open. So I think he's worth a look again this week. Alexander Bjork continues to strike the ball well. Juuse Luyten's playing well. He could be a really interesting kind of comeback story after just choking it up in Germany last week, 35-1. Guido Migliosi started to kind of get back in the swing of things a little bit here. Him and Max Kiefer both 55 to 1. I think there are valuable plays this week on this tour. I talk about Yannick Paul all the time. He's 40 to 1. If he just has a decent putting week, he wins. He's kind of like the DP World Tour version of Scottie Scheffler, except not as good at any of the skills as Scottie Scheffler. But same concept. If he putts well, he's gonna give himself a chance. And I think that's kind of the point. Sami Vallimaki played pretty well last week. He is not necessarily the streakiest guy there's ever been, but I think he's interesting at 75 to 1. And maybe Eddie Pepperell. I feel like he's due for a turnaround a little bit here at 90 to 1. Aaron Cockerell is also interesting to me at 100 to 1. So those are the guys that probably I would first lean in with if that's where you're thinking about this week. All right, let's see if they have odds up for the U.S. Senior Open. If they don't, then we'll come back to that. They do not yet. So we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show along with our model for the week. That'll focus on the Rocket Mortgage Classic, obviously. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about history, course fits, all those types of things. And then Wednesday, we'll put it all together for the week. Thank you for listening. If you catch us on a podcast platform and let you do so, please leave a 5-star review or a comment. Helps us reach more people. If you have questions for me, you can get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can DM me on Twitter or Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. Not always on both those services, but I will try to get back to you as best I can. And then you can join Golf News Net for $99 a year at golfnewsnet.com. We have our new short-term model. We're going to actually unveil this week our tool around strokes gained based on course difficulty, scoring average-wise. So you'll get to see courses, players compared to how they score in or gain strokes in difficult scoring courses, easy scoring courses, medium scoring courses. I think that's very valuable to see players who play easy courses well. And we try to rate that in our model based on the official World Golf Ranking field strength, but it doesn't always work perfectly. It's a pretty good comp. Usually easy courses get worse players, but that's not always true. And we saw that obviously last week at TPC River Highlands, a course that gives up 20 under par pretty easily when there's not much to stop the player in terms of wind or firmness. So that moving forward may be an increasingly valuable thing in the era of the designated event. But we'll be back tomorrow. We'll go over the model for the week, and we'll get you ready for everything. Thanks for listening to The Press. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.